You know what you should read.
It's time for What You Should Read, the podcast all about the titles you need. Join three book lovers and a guest as they cover all the best new titles to enjoy with your tea.
I have that, but I haven't read it yet.
Hi, I'm Julia.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Kelly.
And this is What You Should Read,
the podcast where we should all over our books.
I have to sneeze.
Oh, no. Are you allergic to the cat you're holding?
No, I'm not. How dare you? Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day.
We are recording this on Valentine's Day, though it will be released on Tuesday, but hope everyone had a lovely day with friends and loved ones and chocolate.
Chocolate.
I got my traditional heart-shaped box of chocolates that I get every year. So nice. That was nice.
Delish.
What were you saying, Kelly?
A happy Anna Howard Shaw Day to us all, as Liz Lemon would say.
Yes. Exactly. Well, today is going to be a fun episode. Because it's Valentine's Day, we wanted to talk about some romance novels, and specifically we are focusing on romance novels by Black authors today. So we have some great recommendations for you later on in the episode. But first, Kelly, what are you reading this week?
The exact opposite of that. I am reading Gone at Midnight, The Mysterious Death of Elisa Lam by Jake Anderson. Ooh. I have gone all the way down the rabbit hole.
Nice.
But so it's really good so far. He talks to a bunch of the same people that were talked to on the Netflix documentary that I have bullied you both into watching all or part of.
I'm really enjoying it. We just got through the first two episodes. So I would agree. It's a good watch if you like true crime. I do like true crime documentaries. So maybe I need to read more of it.
I'm liking this one. And if you have Kindle Unlimited, it is free.
Ooh, I do.
Yes. So... I would definitely, oh, sorry, Rachel.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I would definitely recommend so far. I am about a quarter in. I do plan to finish today. So there are a bunch of pictures of her wearing glasses. And in the elevator video, she is not wearing glasses. So that could also explain a whole bunch, because as somebody who, not to quote my girl, cannot see without her glasses. I know, me too.
Thomas J.
I know.
You're starting to destroy me today.
Yeah.
But where she's like leaning in and hitting buttons, that would be me in an elevator if I don't have my glasses.
Right.
Especially if it's an elevator I don't really know that well.
That's a good point. I was going to say, I really liked the documentary, especially the part where after I finished the documentary, I texted you both and I said, all right, this is what I think happened. And Kelly was like, but what about this? And I was like, you're right. I don't know still.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I know this is not a podcast where we relitigate the whole investigation into Elisa Lam, but I have very real questions. So please reach out to us on Twitter or me personally, because I will discuss this case 4 hours with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you don't know what we're talking about, you have some watching to do. I need to finish it. I'm watching it with my partner, and we take episodic Netflix show very slowly usually. And so we need to chop, get to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Valentine's Day watch.
We did. We watched it on date night, and I texted you guys. And I was like, it's date night. We just watched this. And Kelly was like, how romantic.
I mean, I think it's perfect. And the Netflix documentary is Crime Scene. I know it's called Crime Scene. And I think the subtitle is, The Vanishing of Elisa Lam, or yeah. The Disappearance of Elisa Lam. Lam.
But, and what's the book you're reading again?
Gone at Midnight, The Mysterious Death of Elisa Lam by Jake Anderson.
Okay.
They have two more books also free, but one of them is called How Elisa Lam's Gots Disappeared. by Danielle Steele. So I'm willing to bet that one's not very good.
Wow. Okay.
I may be wrong.
All right. Rachel, what are you reading right now?
Well, I'm in between books right now. I finished one last night and one this morning. So I think I'm going to pick up Never Far Away by Michael Corrida. And it looks really good. It's a sort of a thriller with someone who kind of had to get a new identity, and then people from her past come into her life again, and they don't know who she is. So that sounds exciting. And then I also think I'm going to start The Kindest Lie. I found it on Scribd. So I think I'm going to actually do it as an audiobook because I was kind of looking for a new audiobook and I figured why not?
Yeah. Someone compared that book, The Kindest Lie, to Little Fires Everywhere, which was my favorite book of the year when it came out. So now I'm like even more excited to get to that one. Yeah. Yay. I think I might see if I can fit it into the Taylor Swift to Zidane readathon somehow.
Oh yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I am reading. My reading slump is over. I finished Legendborn. That was amazing. It took a while only because it's so long. And like I said, I've been in a slump, but I think the slump is officially over. And now all I want to do is read. So that's a good feeling. So I picked up The Four Winds by Kristen Hanna. Yeah, I'm 100 pages in already. It's good. It's Kristen Hanna. You know, I've only read one other book, but I know you are both big fans as well. So I think I'm going to kind of fly through the rest of it, even though it is quite long. And yeah, I just want to get to all my books immediately. I'm in that zone where I'm like, oh, why can't I be reading like 5 books at once? Some people do that. I'm not usually one of those people, but.
Nice. I'm definitely going to read The Four Winds during my Taylor Swift readathon. Hey, one of the prompts is a 5-star prediction. So you could fit it into that prompt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Kindest Lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it's like Little Fires Everywhere, then I guess it would be a 5-star prediction for me. So cool. Okay.
I would like to say I also loved Little Fires Everywhere, and the Hulu show of that was really, really good if you hadn't seen it.
I still need to watch that. Yeah.
I didn't like the show as much. I only watched a few episodes. I couldn't really get into it. But the book, I just gobbled up.
Yes, I loved the book too. It was one of my friends does really good book gifts. And she gave it to me for Christmas, I think, a couple years ago. And it was great.
Nice.
And what is not great is our book news today. I am ending my fun tradition of good things, nothing but good things. So
look, you're not John Krasinski. You can't just bring some good news all the time. Yeah. We have to call out foolishness.
We do. And we've got a really great example today. So if you don't live on book Twitter, Slate had two staffers who don't read romance. Read romance, like read the first book in the Bridgerton series, which is The Duke and I, written by Julia Quinn. And these two staffers who I don't even care enough to write down their names, but it was a lesbian and a straight guy. And they started the article sounding like jerks. And if you think this is how the tone will continue, you are right. Mm-hmm. They maintained it the whole time. One comment of theirs specifically is also my reaction to the article. This is a direct quote. I have to agree that a lot of the sentences were very bad, but not unreadable.
Wow.
What?
Kettle.
Yeah. Yeah. They very begrudgingly do admit that some parts of it were kind of okay, but it was total snobbery and just, can we fucking not?
For me, it's like they went into it with preconceived notions. It's one thing if someone's like, oh, I've never read romance. I don't really know that much about it. Let me just go in cold, you know? and get their reaction. And that would be funny. Even if they didn't like it, they would probably be funny about it. But they were going in expecting not to like it. You could tell.
Mm-hmm. They were very dismissive of it. I mean, they even say at one point, I went in thinking the writing would be bad, and it was. And I have personally never read the Julia Quinn series. I do plan to, but I am someone who does enjoy romance. Specifically, I like to read rom-coms. And after some of the reading we did for this episode, I'm a lot more into the like more traditional steamy romances than I thought. And I think it's because I was taught that reading romance is silly, that you shouldn't like reading romance. And, you know, I think we need to kind of get over that. This is, no one would do this kind of like interview with for like Tom Clancy novels, you know, for like the kind of pulp fiction genre fiction that is typically more popular with men, I think. Like, I find this very, this sort of derision towards people who read romance is very gendered and gross. It's like, just because it's for women. Now, there are legitimate critiques of the romance genre. It can be very whitewashed, and so there can be problematic things to talk about. But just saying the whole genre is stupid because it's romance is just, it's icky.
It is. It's definitely rooted in misogyny for sure. Because you're right. No one would be like, oh, he reads police procedurals.
Yeah. With a knowing look like, nah, he's probably not very smart. And someone else commented on Book Twitter, because we do live on Book Twitter, so that's why we care so much. But someone said, you know, they could have picked someone who's not white to join in this discussion, and you know they didn't. And there were two people at Slate. They specifically named, like, hey, this writer is right there. You could have like brought them on. Hey, maybe like talk to someone who does read romance. Like, why do you like it? It's right. Just, yeah,
silly. Any last thoughts, Kelly, from you?
I mean, I do think that if you are aware of yourself as a reader, you know there are genres you maybe tend to avoid.
Right.
Because in general, you may feel like it's not for you. I'm not someone who will first reach for romance novels, but you can't be like, this entire genre is trash.
Right.
And then, you know, expect, like, read one and I don't know. I, like you said, Julia, there are critiques that are valid, but, you know, it's silly, and for silly women, that's not at all valid.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd never, yeah, like you said, also, you would never see somebody being like, I don't know. I feel like if you've read one Michael Connelly book, you have read them all. And I don't get the whole point. That's, and I say thing. Michael Connelly, because I love him. He's one of my favorites.
Hey, that's the thing. They read one novel,
yeah,
and trashed a whole genre after reading that one novel. And yeah, there are definitely genres that I'm like, you know what? That's not my favorite. It's not my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. But I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, you read, I don't know, horror.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, good for you, not for me. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh.
People.
Other people.
All right. Well, moving on to more fun topics. Let's talk about our recent acquisitions. So, Kelly, what have you recently acquired?
Oh, so many things. The Gilded Ones by Nomina Forna, which was one of your most anticipated. I'm hoping to get to it really soon. It looks amazing. Black Widows by Kate Quinn, which is about a man who is part of a Latter-day Saints subdivision, I guess, which is not recognized by the church, I should point out. They do plural marriage, and he is not a great man and ends up murdered, and it looks like one of his wives did it.
Whoa.
Which
good
one?
For her.
Yes, good for her. And I absolutely loved it. I finished it yesterday. I got Gone at Midnight, The Mysterious Death of Elisa Lam by Jake Anderson, which I am loving. And then the one other one I got was The Book of Delights by Ross Gay. And Maryland every year does one Maryland, one book. And they have narrowed it down to three, which I get, I don't know who votes on it. I don't think it's open to the public. Maybe it is. But that is one of them. And the other two are Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man by Emmanuel Acho, which I have but haven't read, and 5 Days by Wes Moore and Erica Green, which deals with the death of Freddie Gray due to injuries he got while in police custody, like right before his death and the immediate aftermath. And I did read that and I absolutely loved it. So I want to read the other two and see what I think that it should be. The Book of Delights sounds different because it's basically a book of essays about things that make him happy.
Aww.
So that should be fun. But right now I am team 5 days, but I definitely am interested in reading the other two as well.
Yeah. Wow. Nice haul.
Yeah, yes, for sure.
Thank you.
I haven't read, I only read 5 days also out of those three. So Julia, how about you?
I was really good this week. I didn't get any new books. I know. I mean, there are a couple things I saved on Scribd, but I don't know that I really count that.
I don't either, because saved doesn't mean
it doesn't mean right. and it could go away at any time too. That's the exciting thing about Scribd, I think, is like, oh, I saved this. I wonder if it'll still be available once I get around to wanting to read it.
Yeah.
but I did pre-order something from BookBow, which is the book covers company, or book sleeves, I guess. They have their new designs up and they're really pretty. And one of them, speaking of our earlier conversation, is the Lady Whistledown papers. It's just like, that's what it looks like. So I bought the small size for my Kindle and it should come in March. So I'm looking forward to getting that. I feel like I'll forget about it until it arrives and I'll be like, yay.
Fun. That's awesome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I bought two books this week, which was kind of a funny story. I had been wanting to buy one of them for sure. But yesterday I just went to the bookstore to find a book for a Valentine's gift for my husband. And they didn't have the book that I wanted for him. So I had to order it from one of their other stores. But they did have books that I wanted. So I bought myself some Valentine's Day books.
Nice.
The Poppy War by R.F. Kuang, which is like a sort of an epic Chinese fantasy war novel. And it looks really good. And I've heard only amazing things about it on BookTube. Yeah. It's a really popular trilogy. So I bought the first one. It's 500 pages, but they're tiny, like really thin pages. So it doesn't look 500 pages. So it's deceiving. But I also got The Gilded Bird.
Yay.
Amina Forna. And I'm so excited to read it. It's it looks so good. I cannot wait. And this is YA fantasy, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited for that. And then I wanted to let the viewers know, or the listeners know, that on Out of Print, which is a place that Kelly introduced us to, is where she gets all her cool bookish t-shirts, and I had bought some for my husband for Christmas from it. I just bought myself some shirts because they emailed me that they were having a fundraiser with these shirts where, hold on, let me pull it up so I get it right. Okay, so they're selling these shirts that have a Frederick Douglass quote on them. It says, "Once you learn to read, you will be forever free." And all the proceeds from sales of the t-shirt will support We Need Diverse Books and their Black Creatives Fund. The mission of the Black Creatives Fund is to support new and developing Black writers and illustrators via mentorship, workshops, and community building. So I'll make sure that we have the link in our show notes if you want to buy a t-shirt. They have both a unisex and like a women's relaxed fit t-shirt that you can order. So I ordered that, and then I ordered another one that has Anne of Green Gables on it. So yeah, so I just wanted to let the listeners know that that was there.
That's a great, great idea. I want one. I think we forgot also some book news. Did we? There's a new BookTube channel I just subscribed to.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah. I did too.
Yes. Yeah, so I have started a BookTube channel. It's just called Rachel Reads, but I think you can find it by just searching my name, Rachel Hall. And I think Rachel Reads is in parentheses. I have two videos up so far. I'm just sort of dipping my toes in the water. I'm having fun with it already. So go on YouTube and check out my reading vlog from last weekend and my February TBR video. And yeah, please subscribe.
I love it. It's so much fun. I'm so glad you're doing it. I know you've been talking about starting one for a while, so it's exciting to see it get off the ground, and we'll link to it in our show notes.
Yay. Thank you.
Okay. We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are talking about books, romance books by Black authors. So stick around and we'll be right back.
You know what you should read.
Okay, we are back, and today we are discussing romance novels, specifically ones written by Black authors and featuring Black characters. And I'm just curious if either of you, I mean, we talked a little bit about it at the beginning of the episode, our history with reading romance, but what is your history with reading romance in, just in general?
I have, in the past, it was not really a genre that I reached for in general, especially, you know, growing up, I was definitely a fantasy reader. And then like, also I liked mysteries. But you know, in my adulthood, I really have enjoyed, romance a lot more. It's just sort of nice and fun. And there's usually mostly like feel good stories. And there might be some like more serious topics thrown in depending on what you're reading. And there's always a happy ending, which is nice to, you know, going into a book knowing there will be a happy ending is always nice.
I never really read a lot of romance. Most of what I read is probably mystery or thriller, sometimes horror, but I read a lot of contemporary YA, and most of that is, you know, I mean, there's a love story in most contemp YA books. So it feels like splitting hairs really to be like, well, I don't really read romance. I don't really read books that would be put in a romance section, but there is usually a love story. But it's, I don't know, it's weird because most of the time there's nothing in romance that would be the way that the people in that Slate article presented it. Say, like most of, I don't think I've read anything that would be considered dumb, say, or silly, or with bad dialogue, whatever. I don't know. I just went off on a whole tangent, but
well, I just think that's a stereotype of the genre, and that's why you know we're discouraged from admitting that we like it, and. Because there's also the divide, right? I feel like there's the romance novels that are kind of mass market paperback. They get put in the romance section. They've got a cover with usually a man and a woman, you know, in the throes of passion. And they, you know, it's very like dramatic. If it's a historical, there's usually a duke involved. So there's that. And that's what I think people typically think of when they say, oh, romance, a romance novel. But now there's also, I think, this trend of rom-coms, which I would also put in the romance category. You know, they follow a certain formula most of the time, usually following two points of view. But they still have the tropes of a romance, but are not marketed the same as like a typical romance would be. And I think those are the books, these rom-coms are kind of like an offshoot of what used to be commonly known as chick lit, which was also very like looked down upon, right? And which I also love.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think about like stuff that's not like what people think would typically be romance. And I thought of the books about that Australian guy. The Rosie Project.
Yeah, Graham Simeon's
books. Yeah, they're those ones are, I would put them in romance category for sure, but it's not what people would typically think is romance.
Because there's a relationship that is central to the story, right? But it's told from a man's perspective. And I think that's maybe why people wouldn't put it in that category, even though you're right. The whole thing is him finding love, at least in the first book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, one discussion that is kind of, I think, important to have is just like how... not just in romance and in all of fiction, but, you know, Black authors and books featuring Black main characters don't always get the same attention or publicity as white authors do. And especially, I think, in the romance genre. And with the success of, you know, series like Bridgerton, which I definitely enjoyed, it just brought up the discussion of like, well, hey, there are a lot of great romance novels, historical romance novels out there, contemporary as well, by Black authors, you know, we should be talking more about them. And I think like, yeah, like Jasmine Guillory, you know, The Wedding Date was one of my favorite books that I read last year. And as soon as I read it, I read all of her other books in like the span of 2 weeks. I just couldn't put them down. And she's definitely one that gets brought up a lot. But we wanted to expand our recommendations, and kind of talk about some of the authors that I think don't get talked about as often.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So Kelly, do you want to start?
Okay. My first one is Bingo Love by T. Franklin. And it is a romance, but it is also a graphic novel. It is about two women, Mary and Hazel, who meet in the early 60s at a church bingo game.
Aww.
And they, I know, it's so cute. And they fall in love. And well, they become really good friends and they fall in love. And unfortunately, it's the early 60s and their families do not approve of this. And basically they're like, you're not seeing each other anymore, like at all, ever. And they end up each marrying men and having families. And, you know, like they didn't forget each other, but they kind of like repressed everything down. And then they end up running into each other again, like years and years later. And they instantly realize that their feelings for each other never changed. And because it's now closer to present day, they can be together. And it's bittersweet because they wasted so much time. And they didn't waste it. It was wasted for them.
Right.
I should probably say it wasn't. It wasn't even like they decided, well, it's easier to just have what society wants us to have. Like their families did it. They didn't even have anything resembling a choice. And we already don't have enough time with people we love. And they lost decades. But I really liked it. It was maybe technically not a romance because it's not a bad ending, but it's maybe not a happy one either. Not 100% happy.
Oh, but interesting.
I would definitely recommend. It was really, really good.
I love that it's a graphic novel too. I don't read too many of those, but that's nice.
I want to read that. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Rachel, what is your first recommendation?
I am going to recommend the Reluctant Royals series by Alyssa Cole. I've read the first two, A Princess in Theory and A Duke by Default, and they're so enjoyable. You know, they're so rich that their stories and all the secondary and tertiary plot lines are just so well done. And they're funny. I literally laughed out loud a bunch of times reading these books. And, you know, there's some good steamy scenes, and the romances are all like believable. I mean, in the first one, there's a couple of things that are a little bit far-fetched about the plot that you're like, really? But I forgive it because it is so much fun. The second one's a little bit more realistic. And I think it's my favorite of the two so far, but it's hard to pick. So I'll definitely be reading the third one because that also looks very good. So yeah. And Alyssa Cole, she's written a bunch of romance books, and she also came out with a thriller last year, which Kelly, I think you've read.
I loved it. It was really, really good.
Oh, so, good.
Yeah.
I think I would definitely pick that up. Well, my first recommendation is a rom-com. It's The Boyfriend Project by Farah Roshan. And I think I talked about this last summer, which is when I read it, but this is a really fun book. Very similar. If you like Jasmine Guillory or Alicia Rye, I think you would really enjoy Farah Roshan's books. And there's a second one coming out in the series because, so basically it starts off with our main character, Samaya, and she is dating this guy who, he doesn't seem like a great guy, but they've been out a couple of times and they're dating and it's, you know, she's having fun, but he's done some things that kind of make her go, I don't know. And then he breaks a date with her or like postpones it. And then she's on Twitter and she sees this tweet going viral by this woman who's like live tweeting this terrible date. And everything that's happening on the date is exactly what happened to Samaya on her first date with this guy. And she's like, oh my God, she has to be with this guy. Like, there's no way. It's not him. So she goes to the restaurant where they're at because the woman's live tweeting, and she confronts the guy and he's like, and she tells the woman what's going on. And she's like, okay, sit down. Let's talk. Then this other woman shows up because she saw the live tweet and she's also been dating this guy and recognized that it was him. So he is like, I'm going to go. And the three of them just like have dinner at this restaurant. That's really like kind of a popular restaurant, hard to get a reservation. So that's how the book starts, which is really fun. And the three become fast friends and they decide to make this pact that they're not going to focus on dating for a while. They're going to focus on their dreams because they all have these like big dreams for themselves and their careers, and they're going to support each other and, you know, not worry about dating for like a year or something like that. Well, of course, then this really hot guy starts working at her job and she's immediately attracted to him. His name's Daniel. And then he has a secret too. There's a reason he's there that's not completely what he says it is. So, you know, and her big thing is like trust and like, can she trust men again after what just happened? So it's, there's this whole like, you know, he doesn't know that she has this pact with her friends to not date anyone. She doesn't know who he really is. So there's like all this like tension between them. And it's just really fun. I really enjoyed it. And I can't wait for the next book, which is, I think going to be her friend Taylor's story. Mm-hmm. Cause the book ends with a cliffhanger about Taylor, but, yeah. So that's The Boyfriend Project by Farah Roshan.
Oh my gosh. Sounds so good.
Yeah. Yeah. The romance in it. And it's got some steam. It was steamier than I thought it would be, like this, the scenes. I was like, oh my. So if you like that, you'll like this book.
Great.
We read it for book club, as you know, but, yeah. I really liked it. And I loved that her job was in technology, because that's usually not something that, you know, we see women doing, even though a lot of them do.
Yeah.
But it was good to read, you know, a romantic comedy that wasn't a woman working in a bakery or for a magazine.
Yeah. And I liked that the author really talked about, you know, she's a Black woman working in tech, right? And the thing is about that, she has to work twice as hard than anyone else. And she feels all this pressure, because that pressure is real and it's not fair. Yeah. And she's also really great at her job, which we all know. I love that in books. So
yes, it's true.
Okay, Kelly, what's your next recommendation?
Okay. So, as you two know, but most people don't, recently I read Honey Girl by Morgan Rogers, and I absolutely loved it, to the point that I think I sent you guys probably at least 20 texts about how great it is and how everyone needs to read it. And I stand by this, and everybody needs to read it. It is not probably what most people who think of romance novels would think of, because while there is a love story, that's not everything that's going on. But okay, so Grace Porter just got her PhD in astronomy. So space, Julia, space.
Yay.
and she has been working so hard her entire life. She has, you know, like the 5-year plan, but I think even more than that, she has her entire life completely mapped out, everything she wants to do. And to celebrate getting her PhD, she and a couple of her friends go to Vegas, as I guess a lot of people do. Wakes up the next morning, turns out she drank a whole bunch and got married
to a girl
whose name she doesn't entirely know.
Oh.
And
we've all been there, right?
I mean, what's a little accidental marriage between friends?
Right.
And so her new wife is a radio host named Yuki Yamamoto. Grace lives on the West Coast. Yuki lives on the East Coast in Brooklyn. And she's like, Yuki wakes up first, leaves a picture of their wedding and like a card with her name on it. And was like, yeah, I woke up before you. This is definitely something we did.
Oh my gosh.
And is basically like, this is maybe not our best choice. So here's how you can get in touch with me if you want to. And it's so good, because it deals with that and the ramifications of what happens if you are someone who does not do spontaneous things, mm-hmm. and somehow you just did the most spontaneous, really weirdest thing you could do, and what now? But it's also about Grace having to decide what happens when her plan doesn't work, because mm-hmm. she is also a Black woman who works in, you know, a very male-dominated field. And as she's trying to get a job, she's getting all these really weird interviews where one, for example, said, we don't think you're necessarily a fit for our culture. Mm. And she, you know, I'm not the most savvy person, really, in terms of code. But even I figured out you may not be a fit for our culture. Like, we all know what that's code for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really.
And there's another part where she's at a conference and they think that she couldn't possibly have done all of her research herself. So they basically make her leave and refund her for the part of the conference that she wasn't able to attend. And, wow. You know, it's just stuff like this all piled on top of each other. And she's like, my plan is not doing well. So now what? And with her family, her dad was in the military. And usually in her family, like her dad and stepmom, they very rarely call her Grace. She's always Porter. And, you know, it's like just this very much bury everything down, work hard, follow the plan, follow the rules. That's how you succeed. And she's done all of that. And she's still in this crappy position. And now she's like trying to figure out what to do. So she's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to New York. I've never been to New York. It looks super fun. I got a wife there. Let's see what happens.
Wow.
And Yuki is fantastic. She is a radio host, as I mentioned, but she also, like, her host, like, her radio show is the coolest thing. I want this to be real because I would listen to it. She tells about all these mythology from things that she grew up listening to, and, you know, like, tells all these like fun little ghost stories and all these other things. And if somebody writes in and says, hey, so there's like, this isn't one of the examples in the book, but I'm from Maryland, and there is a rumor that somewhere in the Chesapeake Bay, we have our own Loch Ness monster. Only it's obviously not the Loch Ness. It's like a Chesapeake Bay sea monster that they call Chessie, which is super adorable. So if, for example, I wrote into Yuki, she might come down with some friends to go exploring and see if she can find Chessie.
Oh my gosh. That's fun.
It is the coolest thing. And I would love to do that. So, I hope this ends up being a series and we get like companion novels, because I love everybody in this book.
Aww.
But it's so good because it deals with all this, you know, all these issues that I think everyone can relate to. Like, but I loved it so much.
I'm definitely going to borrow that.
Yeah, yes. I already have it actually in my box for next month's book of the month. Like, it's
oh good.
As an add-on, so
it's so good.
And you can use our code, What You Should Read, to get your first book of the month box for
$10. $9.99.
Rachel, do you have another recommendation?
I do. It is basically anything Talia Hibbert has ever written.
Yay. But
especially her Brown Sisters trilogy, which this is the first one, Get a Life, Chloe Brown. Chloe Brown is amazing, and I love her, and I want to protect her. Chloe Brown is, you know, the Brown sisters are part of a kind of a well-off family, but Chloe's trying to sort of make her own way in the world. She got her own apartment. She has a job. She deals with chronic pain and chronic illness, and she has a near-death experience that leads her to realize that she hasn't really lived. She feels like, oh, if I had died, I would have died not having really lived. So she decides to get a life. So she makes like a bucket list of things she wants to do, and eventually enlists the help of her building's maintenance guy, Red, and he helps her sort of check things off her list. And it's just such a fun romance. It is very steamy. And the second one, Take a Hint, Danny Brown, is also very steamy, which that one has like a fake dating trope, sort of friends to lovers, but they're really just doing a lot of pining for each other. And they're just so good. And the third one comes out, I think, in March. Actor age Eve Brown, and that's the third sister. So they're so good. I just can't stop gushing over these books because they're so enjoyable to read and the characters are so lovely.
Nice. I have Get a Life, Chloe Brown on audiobook. I have to tell you, I stopped listening to it because I was like wandering around listening to it. My face was getting bright red. And like, okay, I need to wait and listen to this later, but I am going to finish it. It was funny. And I think I would really enjoy reading all of them. So,
yeah. I also have I had received the ARC of the second one on my Kindle from NetGalley last year. So that one I have on my Kindle.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, my next recommendation is The Grip Trilogy by Kennedy Ryan, which is like definitely the genre, the typical, not typical, but like it is a steamy romance. But there's actually, you know, I've read the first two in the trilogy. I haven't read the third one. But it's the first one is actually more like a novella. It's like the prequel to their relationship. But the way Kennedy Ryan writes romance is like she lets the tension build and build. You know, there's actually not a lot of actual sex scenes per se, but the tension between these two characters just like is like so like wow. So so basically it's the main characters are Marlon, whose nickname is Grip. That's his stage name. He is a rapper, a musician, and he's kind of like on the brink of making it big in the music industry. And he's super talented. He's a poet. Like he's going to be the next big thing. And then Bristol is his best friend's sister and also his manager. And in the first book, it's when they first meet, when she's still in college and he's just like, you know, trying to make ends meet, doing gigs, DJing. And they meet when she's visiting her brother on spring break and they have an instant attraction, but he's like, no, I can't. She's my best friend's sister. But they, you know, they connect over this week. And, but unfortunately when she goes home, something happens at the end where she's like, okay, this can never happen. And I don't trust you. And he's like, no, I love you. And then it like fast forward. And then the first book is really where the story begins. And then like all of a sudden she's managing her brother's career and his career, Grip's career. But she won't like give in to this attraction that they both feel for each other. And so there's just a lot of like back and forth between the two of them. And like, yeah, they're pining for each other, but she won't give in. She's very stubborn. And it's a great book. You know, it's definitely heavy on the romance, but it also talks a lot about like tough issues like racial discrimination and police brutality. And they are an interracial couple. He's Black, she's white, and she also grew up with a lot of privilege. So they definitely like talk about that in the book. And you know, I think it's done really well. So I would definitely recommend this series if you like romance or if you're just looking to try it out. I think it would be a good series to start with. She also has a Kingmaker series that everyone on BookTube is talking about that I would like to check out as well. So yeah, so that's the Grip Trilogy by Kennedy Ryan.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Does anyone have any other recommendations they want to put forward?
So I do want to shout out a BookTuber that people can go and watch if they want more recommendations of romance reads in general, but also by Black authors. So the channel's called Mina Reads, and I'll make sure there's a link to it in the show notes. But she reads a lot of fantasy and a lot of romance, and she gives such great reviews on the books. Every time I watch her episodes, I'm like, oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So she's great.
I would also recommend Ashley at Bookish Realm. She reviews and recommends a lot of different types of books, but romance is definitely one of her favorites. And she has a whole like romance series that she partners up with other BookTubers about to talk about. So yeah, we should link to her too. Before we log off too, I just want to shout out, I haven't finished this book yet, which is why I didn't recommend it, but I do think I would once I finish it. It's Hidden Sins by Selena Montgomery, aka Stacey Abrams, and who can do everything apparently. But these books were written back in the mid-2000s, and I was surprised that it's a romance, but it also has a mystery. Like there's the main character searching for this lost treasure that her great-grandfather stole. He was like a thief back in, you know, olden times. And so he is her ex-boyfriend. The main character, Ethan, is her ex-boyfriend who she left. And so they're like mad at each other. But he's like a forensic anthropologist, and he wants to find this journal and like do it for like research purposes. They have to team up to find this treasure, and she's being hunted down by the mob at the same time. So there's this like thrillery aspect to it. I was really surprised. I was like, oh, this is really interesting. So yeah, that's Hidden Sins. And she has two others too, I believe. Mm-hmm. But if you want to support Stacey Abrams, you know, and you like romance, buy her romance novels.
Yes.
Yeah.
She has a political thriller out soon too.
Oh, can't wait.
I believe next month, but it yeah. might be later in spring.
Yeah, pretty soon.
Cool.
So that's our show for real this time. if you are interested in Book of the Month, especially if you want to get Honey Girl by Morgan Rogers or Get a Life Chloe Brown by Talia Hibbert, you can get them for $9.99 in your first box with the code What You Should Read, all one word.
And be sure to follow us on social media. We are at WYSR_podcast on Instagram and on Twitter. You can email us at whatyoushouldreadpodcast@gmail.com. You can subscribe to us on YouTube and anywhere where you listen to podcasts. Please give us a rating and a review. It just will help other people find our show. It helps the algorithm. And yeah, don't forget about the two readathons we've got going on, right? Well, one of them's going on right now, which is the Bachelor/Bachelorette readathon that Julia created. And then starting March 1st is the Taylor Swift Tis the Damn readathon. So stay tuned for more on those.
Fire Chris Harrison.
Yes, fire Chris Harrison.
And now you know what you should read.
You're welcome.
You know what you should read.
It's time for What You Should Read, the podcast all about the titles you need. Join three book lovers and a guest as they cover all the best new titles to enjoy with your tea.